Welcome back to Real Insight Keen, Insights for the Semi-Observant. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 83, The Dark Knight Rises. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the episode. I'm doing a movie that I should have done a long time ago and never got around to, but thought I'd share. It was a pretty good movie in the trilogy, but I'll get to all of that review stuff towards the end of the episode. But in any case, nothing too major, but as always, I have my insights to provide. So, The Dark Knight Rises released in the United States on July 20th, 2012, with the taglines, "The Legend Ends, A Fire Will Rise, and Rise." A brief synopsis of the movie is, 8 years on, a new evil rises from where the Batman and Commissioner Gordon tried to bury it, causing the Batman to resurface and fight to protect Gotham City, the very city which brands him an enemy. So, very ominous synopsis. Of course, if you want to check out the full movie synopsis, I'll have the IMDb link as well. And as always, a Wikipedia link for the post cover art. The movie got a Rotten Tomato score of 88% from the critics, so that'll be my comparison as always, so be sure to check it out if you want to read what people say, of course, but we'll see. Basically, by the end of the episode, I'll get to how good or bad I thought it was. But with that, I'm going to jump right into the insight. So in the opening scenes of the movie, we're shown basically the police force of Gotham City, and their general moving around and their interactions, and through the course of the movies, I realized that in the Batman Gotham City universe, there is actually a Counter-Strike level that can be built. The uniforms are very Counter-Strike-ish, and the general UI of Counter-Strike, from my recollection, is a lot like Gotham City. It has that very, or at least in this iteration in the Batman trilogy, has that very blocky, rough, hardened look to it, especially the Batmobile as well, along with the various features and things that, and equipment and all of that that are being used. When you're sharing your equipment, at least among superheroes, be sure to keep your keys in your motorcycle at all times for easy sharing. So basically, I figured, well, this was towards the end of the movie, I'll probably be jumping around a lot this episode, but when Batman is giving the motorcycle over to Catwoman, I noticed that he doesn't really give her keys, or there's no voice operation that I can tell. He basically says, here's the motorcycle, here's how you drive it, and here's where you shoot from, but you probably shouldn't need that, and then they go their separate ways. And I figure, well, how about turning it on? Or I didn't notice if it was on or not, but at least with all the ambient noise in the area of the motorcycle. But basically, I figured that he probably kept the keys in the motorcycle for easy access. When your back is broken, a rope, pull-ups, and push-ups are the key. So basically, when we're in the dungeon cell for where Bruce Wayne learns where Bane came from, basically for the whole recovery period, all we see him do is pull-ups and push-ups, and then they use their rope to put his back into place. Basically, I guess because he was strong enough to be able to handle the pain of it. And I figure, among other things, my only real issue with this particular scene was it didn't really feel like he was there for months. It felt like he was there for like a week, and then he was good to go, and that was it. But doing some research after the movie, I realized it was supposed to be a period of like a few months. But basically, fixing a back in a jail cell is, as long as you're strong enough, you just tie a rope around it and you're good to go. When you're losing your money and you need to get around town, always keep your spare Lamborghini on the premises at all times. So, in probably one of my more favorite scenes of the movie, when basically Bruce Wayne is going to be moving around, he has a Lamborghini, and I get to thinking that, well, it must be nice that even when you're running out of money, that you have a spare Lamborghini at least to move around and do what you need to do. So maybe he kept it hidden, but it seemed like he kept this more hidden than the Batcave, which I'll get to in a little bit. But when we're in the final fight scene and we have the police force standing up against the criminals of Gotham City, I got to thinking, when you're wearing the yellow vest, feel free to punch air for maximum effect. So while I was watching this scene, I don't know why I was focusing on just one particular area of it, but we have all the police force and city employees fighting the criminals. And it's a weird thing that you have to really focus on and really see in order to pick up on it. But there's one guy who's running into the middle of the fight, and he's basically just punching air. He's not really fighting anybody. And then they cut away from the scene, so that's basically what I figured the end of his scene. But it was really awkward when I saw that, and I ended up looking at the scene again. And I'm pretty sure that's what I saw. I mean, it's probably a lot of commotion, but he wasn't really punching anything, and I found that really funny and weird. So when you're fixing Batman's flight gear and autopilot, make sure you apply software patch TDKR246.C. So basically this software patch was something that nobody could fix and nobody could figure out until Bruce Wayne figured it out. So I don't know if it's something that he realized in flight or something that just needed a fresh pair of eyes, but basically, if you want your own naming scheme, go over to Bruce Wayne or Wayne Technologies and they'll help you out. And finally, never smoke your own supply or you could become a judge. So in one of the funnier, or yeah, I guess another funny bit in the movie, we have the Scarecrow being the judge of Gotham City as the criminals have taken over the city. And basically, he's gone insane from smoking the whatever stuff that he had that made people go crazy and think he was more angrier than he was. And it's a pretty good scene. I rather enjoyed it. But basically, if you want to become a judge, you should start smoking your own supply. So to summarize The Dark Knight Rises, if one bird has a name, or if one has a bird name as their proper name, one can sense the location of the Batcave. So basically, we're at the end of the movie and we have Robin moving, are basically trying to get into the city, I believe, or out of the city. I forget exactly how it went, but he basically ends up going to Wayne Manor and finding the Batcave. So I don't know if he was just poking around and he happened to find it, or if he knew because Bruce Wayne told him. I didn't really notice, hear that conversation in the movie, so I don't know. But basically, it seems that he was able, based on the events that I saw in the movie itself, he sensed the location of the Batcave, so it didn't seem like it was that well hidden where nobody would find it. It seems like he found it relatively easily, being a detective himself. So it's kind of awkward, but I figure, okay, well, if anyone should find it, he should be the one. So I give the movie a real score of an A. I really enjoyed it. It was a good conclusion to the trilogy, though I figure as part of this particular trilogy, I would have preferred it more as a second movie than the third. Because as the rising of the Dark Knight, I figured that the events that happened with Two-Face and the Joker would have worked better as a third movie. They could have rearranged a few scenes and made it work as well that way. But in any case, all three were good, but my only real issue was ordering, so I can't really hold that as an arguing point. But the positive for the movie was the Batman vehicles, his car, his motorcycle, the plane was really, really good, and the score that went with the movie made it that much better. And then as I mentioned, the only negative was that this should have been The Dark Knight or the second movie in the trilogy, so nothing really good or bad there, so, but something that I would have actually preferred a little bit more. But that is all for this particular episode, so with that, I will jump right into the credits. So that is all for this particular episode of Real Insight. And as let's say you're watching the movies that I review and you want to watch them on the go on your own, make sure you have a good set of headphones from our friends over at Tweaked Audio. They have many great styles and many great colors, so you can have a set of headphones that suits your need, whether they're green, blue, orange, yellow, whatever. They even have woods. If you have a wooden Moto X, then you can get a pair that matches your wooden Moto X. Their headphones are noise-reducing and very durable, so they work very well all over the place, and they have microphone and non-microphone versions as well, so whatever kind you want there also to suit your needs. And when you use the promo code GEEK, you'll get an extra one-third off your order as well, so you can save some money as well. And this is in addition to their free shipping. So be sure to visit geek-io.com/tweak and use the promo code GEEK to get 1/3 off of your brand new set of headphones. We thank Tweaked Audio for their support, and we hope you show them your support as well. But if you want to share your insight of your own or let me know how I reviewed a movie or want to get in touch with me in general, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574, and you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01, where you can get all my latest updates and interact with me there as well. And of course, if you want to find this show or more shows on the Geek.io network of shows, be sure to visit geek-io.com. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.